Hi there, and thank you so much for tuning into the Woman Inspired Podcast. I am Karen McCracken, your host, and I am one woman on a mission to inspire you. So how am I going to do that, you ask? Great question. By sharing real life stories of people, events, and places that will hopefully inspire you as much as they've inspired me. You'll hear a bit of the serious, the touching, the victorious, the challenges in life, along with a bit of goofy, and hopefully occasionally a bucket of humorous. But it will always, always be something real. You can subscribe to the Woman Inspired Podcast by downloading the Podbean app to your phone or your Kindle. Or you can find us on iTunes or the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. There is no fee, no deposit, no monthly payments, and no worries about commercials. I am not here to try to sell you a magic pill, a push-up bra, a weight loss plan, the latest gadget, gizmo, or technology. Nope, this podcast is absolutely free to tune in. Before we get into today's story, again, a little bit about me so you know who you're listening to. My name is Karen. I have been a Christian inspirational speaker for a little over 20 years now. I've spoken at churches, conferences, and women's retreats all across the country, pretty much anywhere they'd have me, and I've written a few books. I am also a certified Christian life coach, a chaplain, a family peer support specialist, a wife, a mom, a daughter, a sister, a cousin, an avid gardener, and my real passion in life that God has put on my heart is reaching women and men with inspiration and laughter. I'm extremely candid. Warning. I'm extremely candid, a bit goofy at times, and I wholeheartedly work to be transparent. Maybe more so than most people might think I should be, but that's okay. That's who God made me to be. I'm not perfect. I might stumble. I might fall. I might stutter. I might backward talk, and you might wonder, what is she saying? But if I catch it, I'll go back and correct myself. So I'm glad you're here for this journey with me as I journey into podcasting. So for more information on this podcast and your host, you can click onto my website at womaninspired.com or follow me on Instagram. Just look for One Woman Inspired. That's the number one, followed by Woman Inspired. And that's where you'll find me on Instagram. Each and every week, along with focusing on a person, place, or event that inspires me, that I hope will inspire you in turn, I will also be sharing with you what I would like to call a pod quote. Yep, I made that term up, pod quote. It's a quote, a tidbit of information, a little line of something that went through my brain, or a hint of inspiration, or even a scripture that's on my heart that I'd like to share with you. So this pod quote today will hopefully resonate with you just as much as it has with me, and as you'll soon hear, has with the object of today's podcast. So here we go. If you want to reach people, show them not your wounds, but your scars. For scars form on the living, not the dead. Okay, I'm going to say that again in case you want to write it down. Just do me a favor. If you're driving and listening to this podcast, don't do that. All right, here we go again. If you want to reach people, show them not your wounds, but your scars. For scars form on the living, not the dead. Today's true life story is titled Pretty Girl Blues. This real life story is about a woman I had the blessing to meet a few years back. Her name is Jerlene Taylor. If you haven't heard of Jerlene, I encourage you, after this podcast, to Google her. You'll find her on Instagram and Facebook, and as well as on her own website at prettygirlblues.com. Jerlene's story is one that I think perhaps we can all relate to on some level, whether we've endured the exact same struggle or similar challenges in life that she has. We all have something of our own that we've had to face that's been difficult. So just hearing about her endurance, her faith, and her belief in never giving up helps us know that we're not alone. Jerlene had a huge challenge on her journey at a very young age. At just the age of 3, she was diagnosed with rhabdomyosarcoma. I had to practice saying that, so I'm going to say it again. Rhabdomyosarcoma. It's a form of cancer. It starts in the musculoskeletal cells and tissues. And fighting this cancer took a lot of energy for a little body. But what a lot of people might not understand about childhood cancer, unless you've been around someone who has been through it, is that while we hear many stories of children being healed through various means, praise God, that time of healing is not the end of the story. Nor is that physical healing from the cancer the end of the journey. The child and adult journey post-cancer can have some very serious side effects mentally, emotionally, and spiritually on the survivor. But it can also mold and shape that survivor into someone who doesn't just survive, but thrives. That's right. A survivor of cancer can become a thriver in life. Jerlene is definitely someone whom I would consider not just a survivor, but also a thriver. She is no stranger to those side effects of childhood cancer, and it's something she shares openly about in her book titled, you guessed it, Pretty Girl Blues. When Jerlene was younger, like all little girls, she wished to feel pretty, but she didn't know then that she would one day pen a book titled Pretty Girl Blues. For a long time, Jerlene wasn't quite sure what she would end up doing. She felt like it was something she could not focus on much because she didn't feel like she was normal. She felt like the lifelong side effects of her cancer would keep her from being able to do many things and lead that quote-unquote normal life. This particular cancer Jerlene had starts most commonly in the head, the neck, the prostate, the bladder, or the vaginal area, and how it affected Jerlene was in the vaginal area. And because of the location of the cancer in her body, she had to have surgery that caused the loss of her bladder and the lack of ability to use her bowels. So at a very young age, Jerlene had to have a permanent ileostomy and urostomy in order to function. This meant that she had incisions and holes, if you will, cut into her where pouches sit in them and then extend on the outside of her body that help take care of the urine and the waste materials in her body to remove them. So during the early years of her life, she understood very quickly that she had to have these ostomy bags in order to survive, which of course, as you can imagine, as a child, it made her self-conscious. The surgery she endured and the healing, that emotional toll, it was all painful and uncomfortable, not to mention the effects of the chemotherapy and treatments. But even more so was the emotional toll and the mental toll that it took on her. Through the illness and the surgery, Jerlene was supported, though, by an amazing family. She credits her parents and her family with helping her to survive and to remain grounded and even grow in her faith through her childhood and into adulthood. Her parents were there for her as solid rocks when she was younger. She had first gone into cancer treatment in 1970, and after that she had weeks of treatments every 2 months for 12 months. In 1972, she was declared disease-free. But she still had continual care that went on for more than 10 years with follow-up visits and additional corrective surgeries and testing for years to make sure that the cancer didn't return. The entire time Jerlene was being treated and going through her formulative years, she wasn't just trying to figure out how to keep up with puberty and acne and hormones and school and all of the things that we all have to deal with, but she also had to be concerned about feeling embarrassed and how to take care of these ostomy bags and trying to figure out how to live with them and attempt to live that quote-unquote normal life. Jerlene is candid about the fact that she had bouts of depression and even suicidal thoughts, and she was not exactly extroverted. She was extremely shy, painfully shy. Her parents had 6 kids, which included she and her twin sister. Jerlene went through times where she was plagued with questions. Why was she the one in the family that got sick? Why was she the twin who got the cancer? Not that she ever wished that her twin sister or anyone else in her family would take her place, but those normal, natural, frequent feelings of why me were something she had to learn to deal with. Jerlene shares her story with others now in order to help encourage them and help them to understand that even with something that others would consider a disability, you don't always have to feel disabled. You don't have to be stuck in one place. You don't have to be bogged down by what went on in your life that you felt disabled by. You don't have to put your goals on hold, and you don't have to feel like you can't dream. You can dream, but she didn't always feel that way. Jerlene recalls a really difficult memory for her from middle school when she boarded the bus to come home and her urostomy bag burst. The driver stopped the bus, sure that someone had set off a stink bomb, and insisted that someone confessed or they were going nowhere. They were not going to be let off the bus. She stayed on that bus for what seemed like hours to her, and she never told the truth. She was too embarrassed, so she covered up with her coat, trying to contain the smell, until finally the driver let everyone go. She rushed home to clean herself up, not speaking a word of it to anyone. She was too embarrassed to confess. And Jerlene says, this would begin my years of hidden insecurities, hurts, low self-esteem, feeling ashamed, feeling sorry for myself, and turning my focus and feelings to my external appearance. You see, Jerlene is candid about how she channeled her insecurities into focusing mainly on her outward appearance to attempt to cover up her feelings of inadequacy because of the cancer and ostomy bag she had to live with. She turned toward trying to make her outside shine and be pretty, focusing on her looks in an attempt to look perfect because she felt so imperfect inside. While she was in high school, Jerlene decided to take a course in cosmetology and later took a job as a hairstylist, turning it into a home-based business for a while so she could work closely with clients, but she would be in closer proximity to where she could take care of her physical needs without as much embarrassment. And she did a good job. She kept what was going on with her a secret. In fact, most people never even knew that she had ostomy bags, and that's the way she wanted it. Jerlene considers our Heavenly Father the master physician, and I wholeheartedly agree. And she knows that He has healing powers, but sometimes He chooses to heal in different ways than we would hope or expect, and sometimes He chooses not to heal at all. But it's all for His purposes and in His timing. Even with the strong foundation of faith Jerlene had growing up, knowing that God had timing that was perfect for each one of us as individuals, she still had many insecurities growing up in the face of her cancer and what she calls her ostomy journey. Those insecurities didn't go away or change overnight, but once she allowed her faith and God's word to slowly transform her mind in a positive way, she was able to embrace the fact that her focus needed to turn within, not just on her outward appearance and feeling pretty on the outside. Not surprisingly, when she did so, things began to change. In fact, as Jerlene worked hard to challenge her fears and insecurities about her body and who she was, letting God lead her, He led her smack dab into the face of her insecurities, as only God can do. As a child and into high school, Jerlene considered the ostomy bags her secret. She told as few people as possible. She didn't even want to address it within herself. While her parents helped to teach her how to take care of the ostomy bags in order to take care of her body, and she learned more along the way, she pushed the whole idea of the bags and the cancer away. If she didn't know that much about it and what it really was and what she really had to do, then she couldn't explain it to anyone else, and she didn't have to deal with it. She could then focus on the outward things that became an escape for her. Oftentimes, she had different events or occasions that she wanted to attend, but she just didn't because she was keeping that secret. Having been teased by other kids, being called, you know, harmful names like Stinky Girl in school, and being bullied, it kept her from coming out of her shell even as she got older. I think several of us can relate to that, being called those names and how they stick with us for a long time. So the fear of a mishap with the bags again also kept her from really living the life she wanted to live. She lacked that self-confidence and reliance to make a change for herself. But God would not leave Jerlene alone. He kept moving within her. He kept prompting her to challenge those fears and stop focusing on the outside. Jerlene realized she was covering up so much of who she was because she was hiding her secret. She thought for so long that keeping the secret would make it easier for her to cope with her ostomies. In fact, Jerlene says, I never wanted to be embarrassed because of them. However, I still had the feeling as if someone was whispering, "I smell something foul," because of my bags. It was devastating. I tried to keep them changed all the time. However, there were situations that were out of my control. When I started doing things to my stomas that were not healthy, in other words, harming myself, I realized I'd gotten to the point I did not care anymore. I did not want to be teased or talked about. I found ways to cover up the secret I was hiding. So Jerlene focused even more so on being pretty. She wanted to be that pretty girl. As Jerlene was figuring out how to deal with overcoming her insecurities, though, and focusing less on what she knew she shouldn't focus on, and figuring out how in the world she could bring her self-esteem up, it was not by accident, but I say divine intervention, that she found something that helped her internally. And again, only as God can do. He can take what we focus on that is a negative and turn it into a positive in an amazing way. And that's what he did with Jerlene. She was well out of high school and working a full-time job when an opportunity came to her. She was in the mall one day when someone was giving out flyers about a modeling open house. She had never, ever thought about modeling before. Why would she? It was something someone with ostomy bags or a physical condition such as hers could never, ever do, could they? I mean, can you imagine? Most of us just walk right on by because we know we could never do that and have the boldness to do so. But a feeling came over her, a conviction, if you will, and instantly she thought, why not? When I read that about Jerlene a few years ago and I talked to her, I thought, she said, why not? For someone who had such low self-esteem and was so shy and introverted and had been picked on and bullied, questioning why me, God moved her enough to say, why not? That gives me the chills. When you can move your heart and your mindset and be transformed from saying, why me, to why not, that's the divine hand of God. So on that day, the first day of calls, she was still having some second thoughts, of course, but she showed up anyhow. And while she was listening to the director talking about the modeling studio and the classes that she'd have to take, she still had those thoughts in the back of her head. Is this something I can really do with ostomy bags? What will happen if they find out? What if I'm rejected? What she heard in between her own thoughts sounded good, though. It sounded like it was a good opportunity for training with the modeling and the modeling classes, possibly even to travel and hopefully help her out of her shyness. But that little niggling thought in the back of her mind kept going, but is this just a way to escape? Am I focusing more on my looks? But she had focused so long on her looks, trying to shine outwardly, that maybe she could actually turn it around into a positive thing here. And it was a way of doing something that would enhance her confidence and her self-esteem. And maybe, just maybe, using what had bogged her down and giving her the blues could turn into something beautiful on the inside. She could use her outer beauty to bring out her inner beauty in a special way. And those are the thoughts that God gave her. Her concern that she would use this to cover up was something she really didn't need to be concerned about at all, because God turned it all around for her. She knew in her heart that this is what she was supposed to do. So Jerlene went ahead and took the leap, and she was accepted into a program at the Travis Winky Modeling Studio. She got professional direction and a whole lot of acceptance. At first, she didn't tell anyone at the modeling agency that she had ostomy bags because she had those doubts and fears. She made up excuses and other reasons why she couldn't wear certain outfits. And it worked. No one knew. But there came a day when she finally had to be honest and let them know that she had these urostomy and ileostomy bags. It wasn't something that she could hide or keep secret any longer. I mean, she could not model swimwear or any outfits that were too revealing or displayed her stomach area where the bag sat. I mean, what if an aspiring model goes into an agency and says, hey, I want to model for you, but I can't wear that and I can't wear that. But she did it anyhow. And the Travis Winky Modeling Agency understood. They recognized in her that she had a gift and helped her develop that gift as a runway model. Her entire time at the studio, they were helpful to keep her in garments that complemented her body and her body type. She became an excellent company runway model. She traveled abroad and she was so happy to be under their leadership. It did help her come out of her shell. It boosted her self-esteem. She still had doubts and she had shaky moments, but to this day, she's thankful for that experience she had. Not only did she become a top runway model, but she subsequently went on to become a terrific editorial model, doing photo shoots for catalogs and billboards and magazines. Jerlene's first experience as an editorial model doing photo shoots was extremely uncomfortable for her. What changed her mind, though, was the outcome after her first shoot. You see, doing modeling on the runway is a little bit different than standing in it, having your photographs taken for billboards or magazines, product placement, that sort of thing. So the photographer, when he developed her pictures, though, the results were amazing. Without even having to be retouched, the pictures were phenomenal. Jerlene's concerns and worries about would the ostomy bag show or might somebody notice or would the picture look flawed were really unfounded, as it turned out. What she saw looking back at her from those photos was a beautiful young woman who beat the odds of surviving cancer. Not a young woman who was afraid that others would find out about her secret. I think probably for the first time, Jerlene saw herself through God's eyes. She saw someone who was just a beautiful young woman, not from the eyes of her pain and sadness and bullying and teasing from when she was younger. All of those insecurities and that shyness just dissolved. I praise God for that, because Jerlene is an amazing person. And she relied heavily on that faith that her parents shared with her when she was younger. And she says that her mother inspired her with words of encouragement and shared with her that she needed to seek fresh joy each and every day to continue on with her dreams and her goals from there forward. One of Jerlene's favorite scriptures is from 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And Jerlene loves God. As a young child, Jerlene had no idea what God had prepared for her. She couldn't conceive of it, that he might use her outward appearance and her longing and desire to feel pretty to help her to feel beautiful inside. So through a lifetime of being teased and bullied, that sadness and depression over how her body felt so inadequate, and her becoming focused on the wrong things out of fear and secretiveness, or even her desire to be someone that she wasn't, to long to be someone else, what happened was God used that to turn her around. And when she stepped into who she really was and the gift that God gave her, the gift to be a model, she overcame what was going on with her body. And not just overcame it, she embraced what was going on with her body. That's when she became undoubtedly more beautiful than she ever thought she could be. Pretty girl blues. You think about that. To me, that's the sadness, that depression, and the fear that someone would feel when you focus on the fact that you don't feel so pretty inside. And when you don't feel pretty inside, it doesn't matter how much you do on the outside. You'll never feel beautiful on the outside either. So instead, you focus on trying to control the things that you can control, but it doesn't work. What I learned from getting to know Jerlene, and I pray I never forget, is that on this journey in life, once you genuinely embrace who you are on the inside, that beautiful person God made you to be, and what he wants you to do, then the outside has no choice but to follow suit. That's when someone looks at you and knows that you're beautiful. They see it shining from the inside out. In Jerlene's book, she says, I learned to cope and to accept that God made me in his image. All that he made was good. I was not a bad person. I was just a person in a bad situation. I am a peculiar person who is also extraordinary. You can never judge a book by its cover. So before you think you want to be just like someone else, look into their story, because you never know what's going underneath. You never know what secrets lie underneath. But Jerlene doesn't carry secrets anymore. She doesn't have those blues any longer. She remembers what her mom taught her about seeking that fresh joy every day, and she spreads that joy to others, supporting them, sharing authentically who she is. And in fact, Jurlene started an online Facebook group called Why Not Me for other women who live with ostomies. She went from saying, why me, to why not me. Now that's inspiring. She uses her experiences to reach out to others and help them as they come through the similar journeys that she's been through. She helps them to help overcome their fears and to kick out those blues. She's also an active member of other online groups that help support cancer survivors and promote ostomy awareness. One that she's fond of is Ostomy Fashion. She also has a No Limits Ostomy and Making Ostomies Cool. And there's several others as well. Throughout her journey, there were times in her life that Jurlene felt that her faith was a little bit shaky. She looks back now, though, and she sees how God brought her through so much, and He knows He will never leave her or forsake her. God gives her stability. She remembers often and encourages others to remember that you are not your circumstances. Never stop believing in God and never stop believing in yourself. Jurlene's faith, her hard work, and her willingness to face her fears as a young adult catapulted her into a world of modeling in a way she never expected. I mean, come on, in a way that we would never expect. But really, God can do the most amazing things. Jurlene has been featured in and on the cover of several magazines and newspapers. She's been on Essence, BB, Promoting Purpose, Sheen, The Baltimore Times, Impact, Grace and Glory, and Heart and Soul magazine, and those are just naming a few. Every single time I'm on Instagram, I confess, I can't help but click onto one of her posts to see what blessings have come her way lately, and I'm never disappointed. Jurlene always, and I mean always, gives God all the credit and glory for bringing her out of her shell and anointing her to reach others through her journey and even through modeling. Some people might think that modeling is not a gift, that standing and looking pretty or getting made up to promote a product isn't really a real career, and that there's no gifting that is needed. I've heard it talked about even among groups of women in churches. And let me tell you, I've been to a whole lot of churches, probably almost 300 of them. And the premise is that modeling doesn't take talent. Well, let me tell you right now that that is not correct. So if that's a thought that maybe you have or someone you know has, I hope you correct them on it. Just a few weeks ago, I had to go get headshots taken for some speaking engagements that I have coming up this fall, and it was not easy. I definitely do not have the gift of modeling. On top of tackling my own fears of being photographed and looking ridiculous, I was also plagued with these questions of, oh no, what if I break out? What if my hair looks bad? Am I going to look too pale? I've gained weight. I can't get my pictures taken yet. In fact, I rescheduled this headshot session 3 times. I kept putting it off. One time was legitimate, but I was not unhappy to reschedule it. And 2 times I did it because I just didn't want to go do it. I just did not want to get my pictures taken. Any wrong move during my photo shoot and the pictures looked awful. It didn't look like me. And I really just wanted the photos to look like me. Good, bad, flaws, imperfections, everything. I just wanted them to look like me. And I was tired by the time I was done with 3 clothing changes and light shining in my face and this makeup on, something I rarely wear, by the way. And so being told to move this way or that way, I mean, frankly, I just want to tell you folks, my body is getting older and I cannot contort the way a photographer wants me to. I felt like my head was going right and my shoulders were going left and yet my eyes were supposed to be looking a totally different direction, and I didn't even want to know what my breasts were doing. I wouldn't look down because I'm sure I would have been disappointed. So all the while this photographer is looking at me like I was crazy. I'm like, please, please, please don't get my full body in this shot, in this picture. I just want a headshot. So let me clarify again. For many of us, getting our pictures taken is not easy. It's stressful. And even for those of us who have faith, it's stressful. Now, will we all feel we have flaws we want to hide? And some of us would rather be photoshopped. Most of us are not hiding ostomy bags. Most of us are not trying to make a career out of this and feel comfortable doing so when we have things that we're concerned about showing, like ostomy bags. So you can imagine what that was like for Jurlene. But here's this thing. There's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman called Do Everything. And the main chorus goes, do everything you do for the glory of the one who made you. And that's what Jolene does. That's why she's so successful. That's why she's anointed through what she's doing. And she gives God all the glory all the way. Whether God chose to lead her down the path of modeling, or if it were teaching or writing or dancing or digging ditches, Jolene would no doubt give God all the glory. But this is the path he set her on. That's how she was anointed. And that's how we're called to be in his service, wherever he places us, with whatever gift he blesses us with. Through her faithfulness, though she's not perfect, Jolene has been allowing God to perfect her through his grace and mercy. And she's learned how to direct that grace and mercy toward herself as well. But she points to him as her beacon of light and gives him the credit. And I definitely say that is inspiring. She is inspiring. And it shows in the favor that God's given her too. Jolene's been interviewed and had appearances on multiple TV shows and news formats who were interested in having her come to share her story with others. You might have seen her on the Dr. Oz show. She was also on In Focus on ABC News and The Turning Point, Aspire TV. She was also honored at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center Survivor Day and has been a guest speaker at John Hopkins Hospital. I didn't say that right, but she was a guest speaker at John Hopkins Hospital. In fact, if you want to hear for yourself some of Jolene's story straight from her own mouth, you can hop on over to YouTube after this podcast and Google her name. It's Jolene Taylor, J-E-A-R-L-E-A-N Taylor. You'll find a whole array of interviews and little snippets of guest appearances that you can check out on there. After you check out Jolene's website and videos, I would like to encourage you to hop on over to Instagram and find me there and follow me, please. Again, if you look for One Woman Inspired, that's the number one, followed by Woman Inspired, you'll find me. And don't forget today's pod quote. If you want to reach people, show them not your wounds, but your scars. For scars form on the living, not the dead. And I'd like to thank Jolene for allowing me to share her story and for sharing her scars and inspiring others to live while they're alive. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, I pray you find something to laugh and smile about, and that you find something that inspires you.